Blog Talk Radio.
Let's get lost in a better place. Pick up a bird, travel through time and space. So much to learn, so much to see. A chance to escape reality. Open your mind and your heart. Gain new knowledge, get a fresh new start. MJ Network will bring you there. So let's talk about it when life and on the air.
Good morning, everyone. It used to be a beautiful day. It's cloudy, it's rainy, but that's okay because we have a show that is going to be so fantastic. This is the first show of my fall season. And who better than New York Times author Vincent Zandri, award-winning author Alan Topol, multiple award-winning author Matt Coyle, and award-winning author Larry Thompson to talk about a lot of things about publishing. So good morning, everyone. And the sun's going to shine in its own way. I know it. I can feel it.
Hey, Fran. How are you?
Good morning.
I'm hanging in there. So my question is this. I've published with 5 different publishing companies, and out of the 5, I would say 2 were okay, and the other 3, I don't know. When you're going to telling a new author to publish your book, traditional versus independent versus self-publishing versus Amazon KDP, what would you suggest, seriously, out of all of them, if any of them?
I think it kind of depends on the book that you're putting out. What do you think, guys? I mean, at least for me, and this is Vince talking, if I'm writing, like, in a certain series that I know, like, no traditional publisher is going to ever pick up, then I don't even think twice. I just put it out under my own label. But if I'm writing, like, a standalone, a psychological thriller, like The Remains or something like that, then I automatically hand it off to my agent to see what he can do with it. So in a way, that's what I do both, you know.
This is Larry.
Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Larry.
Okay. I was just going to say, this is Larry. I've been down all these roads. I started off self-publishing because I wrote this really great very first book and thought it was going to be an instant bestseller, and nobody would touch it.
Right.
So I have maybe a story others that have had too. So anyway, I ended up self-publishing, and my wife and I went to work trying to promote it. And after several months, I ended up with an agent who I still have. His name is Ken Hatchett in Los Angeles. So that was my first experience was self-publishing. And it's still out there, and it can still be done. I think Ingram is probably the best if you're going to self-publish as far as printing and binding and that kind of thing, because they have a subsidiary called Lightning Source, which does all of that, and at least gives you a shot at trying to get in bookstores and other places. And then I've been to Tour Forge, I've been to St. Martin's, and right now I'm kind of semi-independent publishing with my agent who started a small imprint.
Yeah, this is kind of interesting. It's Alan. So I'm like our colleagues who spoke before. I've been down all the roads. Started with William Morrow, had 2 books with them, had 4 books with Penguin, then went with a small publisher. And for my last book, The Washington Operator, I decided to try something different. And I decided to go with Amazon, the KDP publishing. Mm. And I must say, I've really been happy with it. The downside, what I'm missing is I'm not in Barnes & Noble bookstores, and I had a good relationship with B&N, and I was sorry to see that go. But I have to say, I basically feel as if I'm eliminating 2 middlemen. I'm eliminating the publisher and I'm eliminating the distributor. And I feel as if I have much more control over the process. From a marketing standpoint, I felt as if, well, what am I going to be losing? And then I said to myself, wait a minute, you're kidding yourself. What kind of marketing efforts did the publisher really make for you before if you weren't out doing it yourself?
Yeah.
That's the first thing. So I said, you're kidding yourself when you say you've been doing the marketing and you'll do it again. The other thing which really struck me as important is I got tired of waiting 2 years to receive my money. Then, you know, sort of gamble if it's a small publisher that they're going to stay in business. I mean, screw that. Oh, excuse me. I mean, forget that. It just, you know, I mean, I like the idea you sell books and 2 months later you get your money. So, I mean, it's, you know, it's a much different thing. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
I may feel differently a year from now, but at this point, that's that's kind of where I am. And I'm not, you know, nobody said anything. I'm doing the same book signings. People want me for interviews. It hasn't made a, a bit of difference. Nobody said, I'm not going to buy your book. I mean, it just doesn't matter. So, anyhow, that's kind of where I am.
Yep.
I agree with you. I did one with my mother's book, and to be very honest, they're a small traditional publisher, and they're not doing a very good job with me. As far as getting money, if I don't ask them to tell me and send me a spreadsheet as to how much money I made and how many books I sold, I wouldn't know. And that's what gets me.
Right.
They don't.
Well,
they don't
the
tell you. They said
thing,
we get 50%. I said, since when do you get 50% when everybody else gets 25? And I sold over 2,000 of my mother's books, and I've gotten $47.
Okay.
Makes no sense.
Wow, jeez.
yeah, you're lucky to come from there, Fran.
And the other thing too, right? And the other thing too, which has struck me, and again, I'm just starting down this road. I don't know how it's going to work, but Amazon has a promo program where they will put your, you know, you have to pay for it, of course, but it's reasonable. But they have a program where you pay for ads. Their lockstep program, you pay for ads when people click on the ads and not otherwise. And I've heard from some people in the business that that's the one promo factor that seems to work, because if you write thrillers, they'll get your ads in front of thriller people. And I'm just started. We'll see if it works or not. But the rest of promo, I swear I threw more money down the drain on promo that didn't work. So anyhow.
You got to watch the AMS ads, though. I mean, I think last month, I think like almost every 5 days, $500 was coming out of my account. So you got to really pay attention to your ACOS and make sure you got a positive return, positive ROI.
I
you mean on the
that.
Amazon thing?
Well, also,
you can sign up for a certain fixed amount. So, you know, that's what I mean.
Right.
We'll see.
Exactly. There's a
catch 22 there in this whole publishing and marketing thing, and that is that none of the publishers are going to do any marketing these days, unless you're Patterson or Grisham or
right.
Connolly or some of those. And so you spend your money on marketing, but then you're always worried about, are you going to reach the right audience that's going to buy the book?
Right.
And considering we have a shrinking audience of readers these days, it sounds like all of us have tried about everything there is, and I've got to say that I have not figured out the formula. And I think sometimes it's a matter of lightning strikes, and somebody gets lucky, and all of a sudden they get a really good review in the New York Times or the Houston Chronicle or Los Angeles Times or something else, and then then they're selling books. I haven't got there yet.
Well, as I noticed with Matt, with Ocean View, that you guys promote each other. which I think is great. And that's why I keep getting all these books and keep saying I have to have them. It makes it really hard for me, but I do it anyway. But I noticed that a lot of the authors, you and David Rosenfeld and David Putnam, a lot of you from Ocean View, are promoting each other. And I know that I looked up Kirker's reviews, and it said that they'll post your review, but if it's a negative one and you don't want to post it, you're paying $485 for no review, which makes no sense. And also with for self-publishing, there are packages, though, you know, different steps that I know from the first time I used this horrible thing. And the first book I have, My Name is Bertha, came out, even though it was perfectly edited, they printed it with a whole bunch of typos. And then when I told them that, yeah, there were like a lot. And then I got a review from an author that said the stories were fantastic, but there were typos. And I said, well, the kid that's writing them is 12 years old, and she's really sorry. I'm sorry about Bertha. The book was edited 20 times by professional editors, and they kept printing it out wrong. So, oh, well, what can I do? So do you find that, I mean, there were packages, and they actually tried to convince me, which they didn't, that I had to pay extra for the copyright and for the Library of Congress, and that's supposed to be in the packages too.
That just sounds like a scam, Fran.
I know, and I never did it before, and that's probably why I would never recommend this particular company again. As a matter of fact,
sounds like a vanity
press. Do you find that self-publishing companies will print anything, publish just about anything? Because this particular one would send me books to review, and I would say, you got to be kidding me. I wouldn't touch this for the 10-foot pole.
I wouldn't work with a self-publishing company.
Don't read it either.
Yeah. I don't know about you guys, but I've never worked with a company like that.
On this issue of dealing with publishers, there's a couple of things that I'm familiar with and have actually taken advantage of. And one of them, as far as in long term, at least it can help, and that is that most of the publisher contracts with the big publishers will have a reversion right. And if the contract basically says that if there's been someone, if a book has not been in print for a certain number of years, then you can ask to have the rights back. I've done that recently with two books I had with St. Martin's, and I've previously done it with Tor Forge, because they're almost not on the course. So I see what I'm going to do with them, but I think now I can now bundle some of those books and do some marketing with those books. The other point I would make is that, you know, copyright is not forever.
Mm-hmm.
There is a window of opportunity, and I've forgotten exactly. It's a little bit complicated, but I've done it once on one of my brother's books for my nephews, and we recaptured the copyright from in this case, it was a Hollywood producer who had done nothing. My brother died in the 80s. And so but after the time, it depends on whether it's, I think it's 79, before 79 or after 79, if I'm remembering right. That's a long time. It's about 35 years plus some other things. But there's a window then of about a couple of years that if the producer has not done anything, you can go get those movie rights back,
right?
Or for that matter, it's even the print rights back if they haven't done anything. So it's just something that maybe a lot of authors are not aware of.
Yeah, 7 years is the magic number.
I'm sorry, say again.
7 years seems to be the magic number. I got my rights back from Delacorte for my first two books, and they, you know, they didn't really sell much at all. But then this is interesting for your audience, Fran, because when they were republished, they sold in the hundreds of thousands of copies. So
wow.
I'm sure had Delacorte known that, they would have been like, oh Christ, what did we do? You know, so it was interesting because when that happened, I actually earned out the equivalent of my advance, you know. So You know, so
you
I think
one
of the, one of those the rights you're talking about, the reversion rights, are contractual usually with the major publishers.
Mm-hmm. They are.
They can vary a little bit by publisher, by each individual publisher, and then the copyright is actually a federal statute.
Right.
So, question. If you're publishing a book or whatever, do you really need an agent? Or if you could take, I know that you could take a self-published book and give it to a traditional publisher if you want. I know that you could do that. But how can, do you really need an agent to submit your work? And does it, how helpful is an author's website to get your work out there?
I always use an agent, but technically speaking, I guess you don't have to, right, guys?
Uh-huh.
Well, I think most traditionally, it's very rare nowadays where you don't have to have an agent submit.
Right.
I don't think any, you know, unless it's a very small publisher.
Right.
And I also think another, Alan, another advantage of the agent, well, at least in my case, is with the agent, since publishers don't edit, I mean, even big publishers don't edit much, but with
right.
the agent, you at least have somebody who can edit. Now, you may have to go out and hire a, you know, a copy editor, but at least I find in my case, I'm getting ideas from my agent on the drafts. I'm getting reviews. I'm getting helpful comments. I mean, she's helping me make it to be a better book, and so I think that's really what I see as the big advantage, besides which she's dealing with a lot of the mechanical things of getting it up that I don't have to worry about, and then I can go on to the next book. So, you know, I think it's worthwhile.
Yep.
I know,
yeah,
and that's
I
how I get them.
Larry, please don't, we must not underestimate the value of an agent as far as editing and giving ideas and so forth. I usually send my books about halfway through to my agent, which has a PhD in literature from Yale, so he claims to be smart. I don't know if he is or not, but he really is. But nonetheless, I do get good feedback from him about plot and characters and anything else that might be involved in, not just proofreading, but going through and giving me some help on how you might make the book better. And so I think that's well worth it if you got a good agent that will take the time.
Yeah,
that brings me to that question on viewpoint and characters. Does your agent ever or your editor ever tell you that the issues or your viewpoint of the character that you should change it? And I've noticed in you know how many books I read, too many. When you get the pre-releases, there's a lot of typos or spelling errors. Do they actually go back over them? Because sometimes they don't.
Well, yeah, the galleys are uncorrected. They should, they should. It should be perfect. It should be line edited and proof, you know, proofread and all that afterwards.
We hope. I know. I've emailed someone.
Yeah,
I won't say who. Publicist.
Right.
They said I'm reading this unedited copy and there's like 100 typos and whatever. But don't worry, we're going to fix it. I mean, I don't see the final copy, and I was like, oh my god, that would be a disaster if that happened. Does your editor ever say to you the character is not doing what they're supposed to, or I think you should change the issue or the topic or the main thrust? Do they ever do that after you've written it or as a suggestion?
So far it hasn't been anything big, but there's been some very good small edits that sometimes lead to better things, but it hasn't been the stories going in the wrong direction. You need to do this, but if they have questions,
right.
I address them for sure, and I think that they all make the book better, without a doubt.
Well, I'm going
my agent, who spent many years as a professor, the first book I submitted to him, he actually took a red pen and wrote through the.
Ooh. That's painful. That's painful. I know.
Process.
That's painful. You know, as a reading expert and as a writing person that taught kids, I never used a red pen, ever. That would destroy somebody's ideas. I couldn't do it. So, but my other gripe is this. This is serious. You know how many books I read? Too many. And I'm finding that a lot of the publishing companies are putting together books that are less pages because they're skimping on the font. And they're making the font so small that I can't read the book. So some of the books are too long. That's the other thing. When is a book too long? I mean, I just finished something that was 860 pages. I don't want to say whose book it was. And usually it takes me about 2 hours to read 400 pages. This one took me 4 weeks because I just like, oh, my God, what am I doing? And when the font is so small, I don't know, not in Ocean View and not in Vincent's books and none of any of yours, but I received so many from, you know, hardbacks and stuff that I actually had to go to my friends, and I won't say where, to ask them to do me a favor and print the book so I could read it. Seriously. So do you find that?
Fran,
I
have a question for you. If you're reading a book that's 800 pages too long, I mean 800 pages, and you can't get into it, why did you continue to read it?
Right.
You know, I feel bad because the publisher sent it to me as a surprise, and I go like, whoa. And sometimes I do pass on it. I mean, there was a publicist that sent me a book. It's a doctor's book about people and how you get along in the world. And I said to her, I told you not to send it because I'm not going to read it. And it's on my shelf. I'm not reading it.
Right.
I felt bad that, you know, that somebody sends me a New York Times author's book, just New York Times author's book, and it's 800 pages or a well-known author, and I'm going like, I feel like I'm going through another set of root canal. If I really think the book, seriously.
That's an awesome review right there.
I do feel like that.
Who is it?
The cavity I had pulled is less painful than this book. Really. And sometimes, you know, you read a book, and you guys don't do it, thank God, because you don't do that. I mean, Rick Cahill, the ending of your book, Lost Tomorrows, was priceless. For those of you that don't follow the rules, watch out for primary termination. You're going to be sorry. Seriously. You'll be sorry if you break the rules.
Thank you.
And you don't want to mess with Kelly Cameron or Craig Page or anybody in any one of Larry's books. Seriously. Yes. But, I mean, sometimes I read a book and it starts out, it's fantastic, and then the ending says, what? How could you do that?
Right.
Well, they kill off a character that should be alive. Well, you're not really sure what happened. But when is a book too long, and when is the plot dragged to the point that, I mean, I'll if I really hate it and it's not 3.5-4 stars, I won't read it. I'll just say, I'll give you a summary, but I won't post it. And then I get yelled at, but I don't care.
All right. No, I agree with you on the length, Fran. On the font, size, which was bothering me too. One solution that I've come up to, which I never thought I'd do, but I do. Increasingly, I'm doing my reading on electronic, on Kindle, where I can control and adjust the font size.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a response to the font size thing. I mean, I'd prefer the paper, but hey, if it's that way, I'll do it and I'll adjust it myself on the Kindle.
I can't mark it up then and write under comments underneath and tell everybody how wonderful it is. I can't do that. That's why I have to have print.
That's true.
And then when the book go on. I can't hear.
Yeah, it's Matt. Regarding endings, I know that frustration, especially when I've had to judge for the Edgars or something, and you're trying to get it through as many books as possible, and you've gone 300 pages, you go, I found one, this is my choice, and then they completely screw up the ending. It's so frustrating, and I think it's frustrating for any reader. I think sometimes, I don't know if it's the editor or the author, they just say, well, you know what, let's throw in one more twist. And it just doesn't make sense sometimes, and I think sometimes they lose the trust of the reader, that the reader is going to understand what you're doing and appreciate it. Well, we're going to kind of fool them for something that doesn't make any sense. That really kind of pisses me off.
You know what happens when you have a character in a series, and I don't get bored with Rick Cahill, because you never know what he's going to do, ever. And of course Kelly Cameron and Craig Page, but Vincent's got more characters than I can keep up with. But this last book scared the daylights out of me, and that's why I've been trying to follow the rules, but I'm not doing a good job. That's what they tell me.
I know.
And Larry,
get rid of your
Larry, and Larry, Jeff is waiting for your next one. Seriously, he's yelling at me like, when is Larry going to send me something to read? Because he reads everything that Larry writes. So what happens when a character is in a story, whether it's a new character or whatever, and the character just doesn't do it anymore? What do you do then? I mean, like, you have a character in a series and all of a sudden it's the same old. How do you keep that character alive? And, Vincent, how do you come up with all these people? Oh, my God.
I don't know. I'm a freak, I think. But, I always look for something quirky with my characters, you know, like something that's going to, like with Steve Jobs and all that sort of stuff. But something that kind of intrinsically will draw some interest, like Moonlight Bullet in the Brain and all that sort of stuff. And then, like, if I find that, like, I'm repeating the same formula over and over and over again, I'm going to put an end to the series, you know, and start something new. As simple as that.
That's really a great point, because I've been wrestling with that. As you know, Fran, I mean, people said, oh, yeah, Craig Page, when's the next Craig Page book? Keep it coming. You know, and I got to the point where I said, yeah, I can do Craig Page again, and I think I can make it interesting. But you get stuff like Daniel Silva, whatever, the single character for 18 or 19 books. Hey, it's just tired. Give it up.
Right.
The other thing, besides the fact that I find it's actually more fun to break off with fun for me as the writer, to break off with a character I've used and create a new character. I mean, that's sort of the fun of the creativity, not just, you know, changing this around and changing the romantic relationships, but hey, create a new character. I mean, that's what we're in for, the creativity. We like doing that. That's why we write in the first place. And so what the hell? I mean, you know, tax your creativity in your brain and create a new character. And hey, the new one that's going to be in the French Revenge, and what you're going to like about this character Anthony Ferrari, Fran, I'm telling you right now, is his girlfriend and significant other is a world class concert pianist. Now,
oh,
I couldn't have done that. That's you. Okay, there you go. You're going to see yourself in the book. Okay.
Oh, my God,
you couldn't
finally
have seen yourself as Elizabeth Crowder, but you can see yourself. You can see yourself as Chiara Moretti. So there you go. Okay.
I always wanted to be a bad character in a book, and I was once. One of the authors did make me Francesca Brutelli Lewis, and I was a terrible person that stole somebody's book, and I wound up in big trouble, and I was hoping she'd bring me back because I love being evil. It was fun. And they actually said, is that really like you? I go, I'm not going to tell you. I always wanted to be a character in a book, especially, you know, the reviewer that destroys people's work, which I would never do.
Oh, my God.
I'm thinking about it after today, you know.
I don't know about you guys, but I always use my friends as characters in my books. Always. I don't know about you guys.
When did they get killed off? That's so sad.
Especially my college.
I think this is an interesting topic for writers, and I've written several books. I agree with the philosophy that it's much more fun to start off with a whole new character and a whole new series of events and invent the character and invent the scenes and maybe locate it somewhere else other than where I've done it before. And I like doing that. I like the creative process, and I like to create characters and breathe life into them and then see what they do. But I then find that you look at so many of the major bestsellers, and it's not just it's not just Silva, but it's Conley, who I don't think has written anything. Well, he's got Bosch, and he's got his lawyer, whose name escapes me right now, but he's written 20 Bosch books, and he's hugely successful, and readers say they want to read more about the same character because they like him. So I don't know which direction you go on something like that.
Well, I read The New Girl by Daniel Silva. I reviewed it. They sent it to me. And I had mixed reviews about it. And so did a lot of other people. Well, Gabriel Alon is the main character, but the main thrust, The New Girl, after the first two chapters, it changes, and it has nothing to do with The New Girl. It has to do with her father and what happened to The New Girl and something else. And that's all I'll say about that. So, yeah, I could see. And then James Patterson and Alex Cross gets old after a while, too. And I just finished Stealth by, that's not out yet, by Stuart Woods. And Stone Barrington's got very strong stamina. That's all I could tell you. And he's got more women than he's got fingers and toes in 5 minutes. So after a while, that gets old, too. It's my sense of humor. What could I tell you? I've been wondering why he doesn't get something wrong.
Doesn't get old in real life, friend.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I guess maybe Stuart was like this guy. Maybe he wants to be like this guy. I don't know. So
right.
The other thing is, how if you're going to create a new character, how do you come up with it? How do you come up with that character? How do you think, and do you ask anybody's opinion, people that read the books before or whatever, how do you come up with that idea for that new character?
It pops in your head in the shower.
Knowing you, yes.
You know? It just comes to you somehow, right, fella?
Sometimes.
Right. You hope so. No, it's true.
Yeah,
you think about it. Your
characters keep me scared. I get scared when I read them. And Larry, I never know what he's going to write. And I really think that Craig should marry Elizabeth eventually. I don't know why, but they should. So,
right.
and Matt, are you going to add somebody into... No, or you're going to add some more characters? After Lost Tomorrows was fantastic, by the way. If you didn't read it, everybody, you're missing something. Seriously. That was one of my I Read It Right Away books.
No, I'm going to kill everybody. Everybody's going to die. So.
That's it. Actually, I just finished Empire of Lies by Raymond Curry, and about the Ottoman Empire, and talk about killing off a lot of people. It's told in two different time periods. He killed off just about everyone, and I get the feeling there's going to be a sequel, and that's all I'll say about that. The book is really good. It's interesting, and I still have to sit down and figure out how to write the review, but I will do that. So when you write a book, because Vincent, your style changes from every book. Alan,
almost,
to everybody.
Yeah.
Just about, yeah, I know. I never know what to expect. All I know is that your last one, The Caretaker's Wife, my neighbor's reading it, and she won't give it back, ever.
Oh, no.
And then she took another one. Yeah, and they my neighbors love me because they just say, just hand us something to read, you know, because you're the book lady, and which is really
library.
Nice.
Yep.
Yeah, are you kidding? Yeah, the little boys next door took my children's books. Now they love me even more than that. So how do you change your writing style, and how vital, because I'm really bad at this, like I said on the last show, how vital is sentence length, descriptions, and scenes, you know, scenery? How vital is that in a book? I mean, how do you get somebody to feel like they're, like you guys do, like when Vincent writes a book, I feel like I'm right in there, and then when the last two characters, Tanya and Tony, you know, got in trouble, I was like quivering and saying, am I going to get out of it? Are they going to get out of it, or are they going to wind up primary terminated? And I'm not going to tell you what
terminated.
That means. It's very scary.
Right.
Terminate, yeah. That's exactly right.
Well, I mean, I don't know about the guy, other guys, but I always try to go for, it's Vince talking, I always go for the, as often as I can, the first person present, and that, like,
mm-hmm.
that's just, you know, I love to read books like that as well, and so, it's, for me, it's fun, and the fun should come out on the page, but, and if not that, then the third person present. So that, I don't know, I just think it pulls the reader in, and you're, you know, you experience what I'm experiencing, you know, on
mm-hmm.
a page as I write it. So that's what I go for, and I try to keep the sentences as short as possible, and I just
mm-hmm.
try to keep the chapters as short as possible, and I just try to keep the plot moving.
Well,
I agree with that. I think I believe in short, punchy sentences, and move the story along. I certainly agree with that. You got to keep the reader's attention. It's almost said jurors. I've been a lawyer for too many years.
Yeah.
Yeah, but what happens when you have this book? I won't say which one it is. That you start to read the book, and then in the middle of the paragraph, they're somewhere else. And then in the next page, they're someplace else. And every paragraph is like another time period or another character. All of a sudden, you have this bunch of italics, and the character's telling a story, and then all of a sudden, that drives me crazy. I mean,
yeah,
that makes it hard to say. I'm better editor. I have to, you know, get my graphic organizer from when I was teaching writing and keep track of what of the scenes and everything. And I do it, but like, oh my God.
Right.
I mean, how valuable do you think book reviews? I wrote a book review the other day. I won't say what the name of the book was. It was a children's book. The author emailed me and said it was probably the best book review he ever had. And he said, I don't want you to keep it on Amazon because I don't want people to read your review. I said, and any special reason why? He says, because I want them to guess what the book is about from the title. And if you could write two sentences, that would help. I said, I'll do you a favor. I'll take it off of Amazon. You don't want a 5-star review? Be my guest. And that was the only one he had. That has no reviews whatsoever. And I just said, you know what? Yeah, I said, you know, I don't remove reviews, and nobody tells me what to do. I said, as far as my site, I said, it's a pity because 10 people read my review in 5 minutes and said they were going to buy it for their school. I said, and now that it's not on Amazon, oh, well. I just, and I was like, what? So how valuable do you think a book review is, and does it really matter if you get a crappy one? Does it really count? Or is it better that you don't get all 5-star reviews?
I don't know. Fellas, correct me if I'm wrong, but I've heard that at least with the Amazon algorithm, and I don't want to start getting into algorithm talk because I don't know much about it, but like if Amazon sees all 5-star reviews, they don't like that any more than they like, any more than they don't like to see like all crappy reviews. So I think like a little bit of a mixed bag is the way to go. However, I can, from personal experience, when my book Everything Burns came out from it was like a Kindle Select for the four books they put out every month at Thomas and Mercer. The second it came out, like a bunch of 1-stars were one following the other. It was obviously like a bot job, and it was like boom, 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 boom. You could actually watch them coming out, all these 1-star reviews, and it was like, and we actually had to take like legal action and all this sort of stuff.
Oh, wow.
But eventually, like, the book started getting good reviews and whatever, and now it's pretty good. But it, like, destroyed sales for, like, a good 2 or 3 weeks. I'm going to tell you right now. It was, like, brutal. I couldn't sleep. It was awful.
That's what I felt yesterday when I got 3 stars. And then what caught me was I didn't realize that people were reading my books on Goodreads. I had no idea. And on some of them that I thought I had 2 ratings, I had like 40 ratings. And no, they weren't bad or anything. Well, people said, I'm going to read it. But one review, because I'm doing a blog tour with Partners in Crime, that's the best. One gave me 4 stars on Amazon and 3 on Goodreads for the same review. And she said my review, my book was macabre and scary, whatever. She didn't write anything bad, but she didn't write anything wonderful. I don't care. But she said my writing was straightforward and good. Yeah, I don't understand why she gave me 2 different ratings, but, you know, she could have given me, 3.5.
Right.
I'm curious about the bomb job that was done on your book.
Yeah.
You got a series of 1-star ratings without divulging names, and she said there was litigation. Can you tell us a little bit more about who was doing that to you or what type of person was doing that to you?
Yeah, this was back about 3 years ago now, I'd say. I can't tell you who got involved in litigation, but it was definitely Thomas and Mercer's lawyers and stuff. And my agent, they like teamed up to like, and letters were sent, phone calls were made, because at first we suspected it was this other author who I was having a little bit of a tough time with.
Maybe.
And, so like I can't name names, and it was also this other publisher, and we thought, and anyway, a small publisher, but anyway, they stopped. But it was amazing. You could just watch it. It would be like 1-star, 1-star. It would just, and like the reviews would be like, this book sucks. You know, it was like
that's
3 sentences or 3 words or something like that. Or it would be like, terrible, waste of money. You know, like, it, and which was really funny because it was free on Kindle Unlimited for like 2 weeks or for the month or whatever.
But that's not a review. That's an opinion. I even called Amazon about that. I said, "Don't you read it? It's just an opinion." Yeah.
Yeah. It was just, it was just it was trolls.
Now you got to give credit. Those are some punchy sentences.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Well, before I forget, Thursday, the author of Eye for Eye and Tooth for a Tooth, this cook about revenge, will be here on the 16th, a.k.a. Marilyn Levinson, a.k.a. Alison Brook, buried in the stacks. Be careful when you go to the library. You never know. You can wind up dead. And somebody we all know and love, the Black Nowhere, Reese Hirsch, will be here on the 18th. And on the 24th, William Embry, Beth Henri Jean, and on the 26th, Catherine Riggs, What She Never Said. And that's just September. And October, John Land is going to take center stage on the 15th with Joe Pistone, and that's all I'll say about that one. Won't tell you more. That should be interesting, I think. He bought a Donnie Brasco book, and I'm like, whoa. So, question. How do you keep, I read everything that you guys write, and yet, like I said before, there are some plots that put me to sleep, and I feel like worse than root canal. Maybe I'll get an implant, too, at the rate of going.
Without Novocaine.
As a matter of fact, the last one I had, they forgot the Novocaine. I was like, don't you love me anymore? I don't deserve all this torture. Yeah.
That's crazy.
The dentist said to me, you're so brave, you know, I'm brave, don't ask. I said, I stopped. I said, no more implants. And, you know, five of them are enough. What can I say? And then there's the dentists that give you too much Novocaine so that you're numb for the next week and a half, which is so. How do you decide, how do you keep the plot moving? I mean, seriously, and how many pages is too long for a novel? I mean, this particular one was written by two people, was 800-some-odd pages. When I had it reprinted because I couldn't read it because the font was small, it was 1,200 pages, and I actually read it. When is it too long, and how do you know it's too long? And do you ask people to read it for opinions beforehand?
I'm
just going to comment. Before I even send it to the agent, I will send the book out in manuscript form to 15, 20, maybe 25 people. Some I know, some I don't, and ask them to read it and comment and both on the plot and the characters, and then obviously looking for typos and that kind of thing. And I think that's invaluable. I think the more eyes, the better.
That's true.
That's a good point. Actually, Stephen King, I'm not a big fan of his books, but he wrote a book on writing several years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things he talks about, he says, is that the successful novelist needs at least one reader that you can submit it to, whose judgment you sort of trust. And so I think that's good. I mean, I'll do a detailed outline before I start, so I'll have a sense of the story.
Mm-hmm.
Other writers, I realize, don't do that. As far as your question on length, I've
mm-hmm.
always, through 15 books, sort of made an objective or a goal for myself is 100,000 words, 400
mm-hmm.
approximately manuscript pages. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's going to be my target. I may come in a little under that sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I may come in a little over it. But, hey, I'm shooting for that target. And because I've had the same feeling that you've had when I've read books
mm-hmm.
that are just too long, I say to myself, I mean, I read a number of years ago a Nelson DeMille book. I've forgotten which one. Maybe Plum Island or something. And I thought to myself, yikes, why didn't the editor knock out 100,000 words out of this book? Maybe because he couldn't tell Nelson DeMille to edit his book. But
mm-hmm.
it's a shame. It would be a much stronger book. But I sort of think 100,000 words is it. That's subjective. Obviously, other people feel differently about it.
Did you ever try to ruin Tom Clancy?
Oh, yeah.
Right, well, there you go. Right. On the other
and
hand,
even the new, and even the new version of
Tom Clancy
the Mark
book,
Hammond
so.
Version is good, but the other version is not quite the same. And Jack Ryan is totally different in both versions of the book. And there's still
last time I read
pages.
Hunt for the Red October, I just, my eyes glazed over when he got to talking about how does a nuclear submarine work, and 50
uh-huh.
pages later he's still talking about it. I just skimmed through that and said, let's get where the action is.
Right.
Yeah, Fancy was hugely successful, so I shouldn't be critical, but a lot of people like that kind of thing.
Yeah, people love it.
Well, I think there was a time.
Right. I think there was a time, at least when I first started publishing 20 years ago, that like editors liked big books. You know, they liked real estate. You know, but I nowadays shoot for like 60,000 to 70,000 words, and that's it.
Oh, okay,
that's
interesting.
Them.
That's even less. Yeah. Okay, good.
Yeah, 60,000 to 70,000.
That's why I read them right away.
300 pages, and almost always comes out 300 pages double space.
Yeah. My agent likes to see a book from me that's about 90,000 words, and sometimes I'll fudge and get to 100,000, 105,000, and he'll accept that. But if it's 120,000, he's going to say you need to start gutting.
Right. Okay. Good. So we're all at about the same target, more or less. Right.
Yep.
Okay,
that means I have to write more words.
I always like to have more words because then I know I've got some words I can go back and edit and tighten it up and make it a better book than having to add some chapters and some scenes and so forth if it only comes out to be too short. So I'd like to have 110,000 words, and then I can cut it back to 90,000. And that makes it a whole lot easier.
Yep.
Well, Vincent, does anybody ever bring a character from one book into the next one? Even if it's not
a
series? Did you ever?
Yeah.
Well, I do that with my detective series. I do. They all know each other, and they sometimes work together.
Yeah, as you know, Fran, I've done that with Andrew Martin, my Washington lawyer. I put him into
another book
with Kelly Cameron. You like that? Hey, Fran, you don't need to add any more words. You got enough nasty people in your book as it was in that
Where
cemetery
did you see the next
book.
One?
You don't. You had enough nasty people.
I know, but you know what they told
things.
Me that they want me to write more nasty people, and you know what the funny part is. I gave my I don't know how you distribute your books or get people to read it, but
yeah.
I went to the pharmacy the other day, and I gave everybody one behind the pharmacy. They all wanted it. And
wow.
I went into my doctor's office just to say hi, and they all wanted one, and the girls in the diner all took one. No, I'm serious. I went to Kmart to get something for my birthday, and this guy said to me, I haven't gotten your new one. I said, well, here, be my guest. I always have a few in my bag. And I don't know. Yeah, and they read them. And when my husband was in the hospital in July, I had some in my bag because we were going somewhere, and he wound up in emergency. And the nurses there said, well, if you want us to be really nice, you can give us copies of your book, which I did.
You're more generous than I am with the neighborhood pharmacy. I give the pharmacist 20 books. I give him an invoice for 50% of the price of the books. He puts the books on the counter. He sells the books. And what the hell?
That's
it's
great.
A lot better.
That's great.
When you live in Chevy Chase, Maryland. You can do stuff like that.
That's funny.
You're lucky because he wants to be a character in the next one, my pharmacist.
Yeah, well,
so I've created something where he's going to, you know, get in trouble, and his assistant's going to try to kill him by changing prescriptions, and I have a warped idea, and he thought it was really good, a seriously warped idea. So I'm starting
That's
to
great.
Write the next one, and there'll be, you know, people behind the stone, but where the stones are, I can't tell you, it's going to be someplace different. Hopefully it'll sell better, and hopefully people will want to read it. So how do you get... how do you get your book in Barnes & Noble or whatever? I went to my public library, and they won't even give me a book signing because I don't have a Kirkus review or a library journal or a forward review because I said I don't pay for a review. I don't pay – people don't pay me for a review, so why should I pay for one? And to get like one for $400. So how do you get them into a bookstore? Well, how do you get – I know the New York Times book review is expensive if you want it done, unless they pick it up. How do you get that? How do you get into a bookstore?
I don't even try with my indie books. I don't even waste my time. I just, you know, only with my traditional books.
But I mean,
I've
seen.
Found I've,
Go on.
I'm just going to say I've had a couple of my books in Barnes & Noble, but the problem is that they're not out there on the front table with all the big names. You have to go back to the back stacks and look for T and eventually find Thompson, and there will be two of my books there, but nobody's ever going to find them. And then eventually they'll send them back to the publisher.
Right. 6 weeks.
But I'll tell you something interesting. I saw a study made by the people who took over BNN. They're going to eliminate the front table because those front tables did not sell books. All they did was lead to an incredible return rate from Barnes and Noble. And so
really?
The new publisher, Waterston's, eliminating that. When they eliminated that, they find in England that the return rate dropped hugely, which is really kind of interesting. And I've done enough BNN book signings to know people aren't up at that front table. So anyhow, that's hasn't worked.
I was there the other day, and they have a whole bunch. They have one round table, then they have one of new releases, and then they have one of bestsellers, which means absolutely nothing. I mean, just because it's a bestseller doesn't mean it's good. It means that people sold a lot. And I don't see, I don't see the right people there. I mean, I see the same people that I wouldn't read, seriously. I mean,
I
see James Patterson. Once in a while, I'll see, I haven't seen Robert Dagoni, Eighth Sister, which was phenomenal, and Daniel Palmer, Saving Megan. Oh, my God, was that great. I mean, I don't see the people whose books I think are fantastic out there.
Well, you're not going to see Dagoni because he's with Thomas and Merton. They're not going to sell his books.
Yeah. Right. Fran, you see the ones that the publisher was willing to pay BNN to put up.
Yeah.
Really?
That's
exactly.
Who you see.
I didn't know that. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah,
That's the game.
That's interesting, because I didn't realize that. I thought maybe they just – I know I was supposed to do a book signing at Barnes & Noble, and I have a traditional publisher, but the traditional publisher is small press, so they don't have returnability if they don't sell. So I said, well, what about if I buy 25 books, and if they don't sell them, I'll just keep them and buy them back. What difference does it make? Or I'll buy the books and bring them, and I'll split the sales with you. They wouldn't do it. Because the new manager said, we can't do that. I said, you could if you really wanted to, but what can I say? So it was their loss. So before we go, any other final words for anybody? And then I want to know what's coming out, people. What's next?
Awesome.
I would just comment. I think I fought Amazon for many years, but I didn't like them taking over the book world. But then I finally gave in because that's where books are sold. And so I've gone to Amazon now, which means I don't go to Barnes & Noble anymore. And I don't like it, but I think you've got to go where people are buying books.
Yep, that's the truth.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well,
I didn't miss a beat.
Right. If only there were a competitor.
Everybody gives you books.
Yeah.
Do you guys review books also? Matt, do you review?
I don't like to review other. I'll do a lot of blurbs, but I don't like to review other books.
Yeah, I'm the same way. Exactly.
Well, I don't write negative reviews.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
But I was thinking of paying that girl an extra visit. No. I have never written a negative review. Like I said, if I hate the book, and it doesn't happen to what it has lately, then I'll just tell the publicist I won't read it. But I felt bad because the book that I was very long, the last two that are very long, are famous people. And then I got a nasty email last year, I won't say from who, from a publicist that said, we don't want you to review for us anymore because you write very well, but the author doesn't want you to write that much. I said, well, if this particular author had a problem, I won't say who, with what I wrote, and if I no spoilers, I said, then the person should have said, would you mind shortening the review? I said, I wrote it that way because there's a lot of research and people don't understand what the person's writing. I said, well, you know what? Whatever. And from what I gathered,
yeah,
whatever. Yeah, so I said, you know what? Whatever. And it was kind of an uncomfortable feeling, and I felt bad because I didn't know. I asked for the book to read it, and I said, and I even have a a date for the publicist when the book's coming out, and I had an interview in my schedule, and the person said, well, we don't want you to review for this particular for us anymore because this particular author, you know, doesn't like what you wrote. I go, whatever. I think it's fair loss personally because I don't think so. So where can everybody find out about all of you, and what's next coming out? After Lost Tomorrows, what's coming out after that? Because that was so good.
I'm writing. That was book six. Let me just say this. Let me cut back. I'm writing another book. Book seven comes out. Will come out in 2020 December. I'm writing it right now. Finishing it right now.
Is that the one that you were writing in pencil on Facebook?
No, that's the editing process where I just put a lot of chicken scratch. regarding social media, yeah, I got a website, MacLoveBooks.com. I'm on Facebook. If you follow me on Facebook, you'll get to know my dog, Angus, and his couch yoga.
Oh, cool.
I'm on Twitter. I don't really know how to use Twitter, but I'm on Instagram, too.
I don't do any of this.
Yeah, hey, Fran, Topol, so the Washington operator, as you know, is just out a month or two. I'm enjoying that and doing promo for that. The French Revenge comes out next spring. I'm sorry to say that what happens to the – well, I won't tell you what happens to the pianist at the beginning of the book. But anyhow, Washington operator
so
for now and French Revenge next spring. And I've got a – I have a – website www.alantopol.com. So, you know, that's where I am.
And Larry, when can I
on
expect your next one? I'm very, you know, Jeff
right,
is looking at me. When is it coming out?
I got a little bogged down in this because I got over into criminal law and a very small niche of criminal procedure that I didn't understand, and I had to take a lot of time to try to get it right, and so it slowed me down, but I'd say probably March or April.
Oh, that's good. I'll stick you in my schedule somewhere in between there.
Okay.
Wow.
And, Matt, where can we find out more about you?
I just told you. It's MattCoyleBooks.com, Facebook, Instagram. You can email me, but don't.
Well, that is great. I didn't leave anybody out, though, right? And I want to thank you guys so much. This has been really interesting and enlightening. And I'm going to put out the link in a couple of minutes if I can remember how. No, I don't know how to do that. But I didn't talk about royalties because I don't think people feel comfortable talking about that one. But to be honest, I may send somebody. I got a printout, you know, an Excel printout of the one from my mother's book, and I'm beginning to realize that they're not giving me a lot of what. I mean, I've sold like over $1,000 worth of the books, and I got like $47. It just doesn't make sense. And then my last one, Silent Voices, people, that's out and doing okay despite the last review. Who cares? I'm getting another review tomorrow from Partners in Crime. I got a lot of money, not a lot, but for me a lot of money, over $200 is a lot of money for the first month. And I sold maybe 300 books, whatever it was. And I seem to be doing okay with that one. So I have to think about that when I write the next one. I would have to think about it. And, Alan, you think that Amazon KDP would be good. So how does that work? Do you have to call them? Would you have to download it yourself? Because that's not me.
No. It's a hell of a pain. You need somebody who knows all this computer facile stuff. Otherwise, you're hopeless. It's
right.
A pain. But, anyhow, I think I heard somebody say right. It is. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So then I would ask a self-publisher, that like my friend Robin at Fidelity, who's phenomenal. In other words, if I asked Robin to do KDP publishing for that book, she would be able to do it for me if I paid her. Is that it?
I don't know.
Or
I
have
somebody
to go
else
them.
Mentioned.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I don't know. My agent takes care of it. Once I get to, once we're ready to do it, we go to Amazon. But he has a couple of people that take care of all that.
Yeah, you need a guy who does it.
Yeah,
you can use an aggregate. You can go to like Draft to Digital and just follow their steps, and it'll get it published everywhere.
That's just not me. What can I say? But I, like I said, after working with the first publishing company, which was a disaster, I realized that self-publishing, they don't read the book at all. They don't read it at all. They just publish it. And they don't care what they publish, to be very honest, or what genre or how many wild scenes are in it. So I don't know.
Thanks,
we'll see. But anyway, I want to thank everybody. The sun is,
Thanks, my goodness,
the sun is trying to get out.
Thank you.
And Matt, I'll be there December 3rd is when Matt's coming on for Lost Tomorrows. And if anybody has anything coming out before then, let me know because I need to set up my schedule because after Matt and John land in for his murder time for murder, I may do one more panel show in December and then I'm done. I'm taking time off again.
Okay.
So
thank you,
everybody. Have a great day.
Thanks, man.
And bye.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.